Today's staff is Tzadi Aleph. We'll start with Prefot Shlemot. Le'orli Pnina Bat Rachel Frida, Yalmiri Bat Chaya, Daphna Chaya Bat Tzari, Lana Mira Bat Dina, Chana Michal Bat Frida Hinda, Chana Lea Bat Fredel, David Avram Ben Miriam, Veli Loi Nishma, Yosef Ben Tzvi HaKoyim Ben Rachel, Oz Avram Shom Ben Eliezer, Yitzhak HaLevi Ben Chana.
Can you name Rafael Moshe Ben Malka?
And Refuah Shlema Rafael Moshe Ben Malka. Okay, we'll start at Tanu Rabbanan, three lines from the bottom of Tzadi Amud Bet. Okay, we're getting into all different discussions about Eretz Yisrael, Peirot Eretz Yisrael, in terms of we were talking about business dealings and what things you can sell and prices, etc. So, and you know, your measurements and your weights and how to do business. So Tanu Rabbanan, Emotzim Peirot Me'eretz Yisrael. You cannot take, this is a fascinating halacha, you can't export fruits from Israel. Okay? Right? What does our country live on? Right? Exports. So, Dvarim she'yesh behem chayei nefesh. You can't do it if people depend on it for living. Kigon, yeinot, shmanim, usaltot. Okay? The solet, the shemen, and the yayin. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera matir, b'yayin. Here's a great line. He says it's okay to export wine because because wine gets people drunk and we don't want drunk people in Israel. So get rid of all the wine, that's fine. But the other basics, the shemen and the solet, we need. Okay, now we start getting into boundaries because if we're talking halacha, right? So the question is, what is Eretz Israel? It's Eretz Israel HaKadosha, you know, where we have the Trumon Amas Road, and then it depends on who conquered when, and David Amel conquered also lands in Syria, but does that mean it has Kedusha Ha'aretz? So according to Tanakama, the boundaries are the same. That Syria is considered Chutz La'aretz. We don't count the fact that David conquered. It doesn't mean that it's part of Eretz Yisrael proper for these halachot. V'Rebbe Matir mehiparchia lehiparchia. He says if you're like right on the border and you're next to this border town in Syria, okay, you live on the border in Israel, you're on the border town of Syria, and people trade there very often, so there, we're not makbid, you're allowed to do it. And now here, it seems to be, since this isn't a halacha that's related to specifically Kedushat Eretz Israel, that's why he's mekel about it, because this isn't like one of those, okay, do we have to take Truman and Masro, do we, you know, what are the issues? The issues here are fairly simple, which is we just don't want exports getting out of the country. So then you can loosely define what is the country and what is not. Okay, it doesn't necessarily have to be connected with Kedushat Haaretz. Tana Rabbanan. Ein mistakrim be'eretz Yisrael. Here's another very interesting halacha. Bidvarim she'esh bem chayei nefesh. You cannot make a big profit. Okay, we'll talk about what this means. Okay, which means basically, you shouldn't sell to a person, in a, let's say you own a vineyard, and you make your own wine. You should basically sell the wine directly to the people, and don't sell it to a store that's going to jack up the prices to sell it to the next person. Okay, if they have chayei nefesh, kigon yeinot shmanim usaltot. Okay, so basic items, you're not allowed to basically cause prices to rise so that people will struggle to buy them. Amru alav, and here the assumption is you're talking about sending to a supplier, you know, again, as the supplier sending to a distributor, you should skip that middleman step. Amur alav, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, shayam istakir b'yayim v'shemen. But here, interestingly enough, they said about Rabbi Elazar, first of all, if you remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the one who became the head of the Sanhedrin, right, when they kicked out Rabban Gamliel. And one of the reasons they took him, if you remember, he was both rich, and they wanted someone who was wealthy and not someone who was poor, and he had zchut avot, and he had a bunch of other things that some of the other rabbis didn't have going for him. Now we get to see why he was wealthy. Because he made money off of yayin v'shemen. So first of all, how could he do this if they said they can't? But yayin, it's very simple. Sevar like Rabbi Yehuda, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera that we saw at the end of the daf, in the previous daf, which was, you know, what we just read, that it's not good to have wine in Israel anyway. It causes people to get drunk. So that we understand. B'shemen, ba'atre de Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, shachiach mishcha. Now we see this added element, which is there was a lot of oil. Now, if there's no concern of there not being enough for the people in the city, what's the concern? Concern is you'll export everything. You'll leave over a small amount. If there's only a small supply, what's going to happen? The prices are going to go up. But in a situation where there's enough to get around, and now we get to nowadays where you all know, we export all the best stuff and we're left with the bad stuff, which happens to be pretty good in most items, right? It's amazing that, you know, and yet, right, there's still plenty to go around. So obviously it's okay to export as long as you leave enough within Israel. So that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was this middleman in the Shemin, right? And these are two issues. Number one, about making money. And the issue here is that if he's becoming a middleman, okay, and that is, I'm kind of applying his thing to the last thing we saw also, which is there's two issues. One is you can't take it out of Eretz Yisrael, and number two is you can't function as a middleman because you'll jack up the prices. But the point is, if there's so much, then you're one person. What you're doing is not going to affect the prices that much. So it's okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Eim mistakrim pa'amayim bebeitzim. Okay, eggs, you can't. Okay, we'll talk about what this means. Mistakrim pa'amayim. Amar Mary bar Mary. Plige bar Rav Shmuel. This machlok of Rav Shmuel, how to understand this halacha, this braita. Chad amar al chad shrei, v'chad amar tagra l'tagra. One said this means that you can't double the price from what you get it for. Now, first of all, this seems strange. What do you mean? Oh, na'ah is 1/6, right? How could you even think about doubling? But one possible answer is that, this is what I assumed, which is that there's the price that you buy it for, and then there's your profit margin versus what the going rate is. Oh, na'ah is 1/6 greater than what the general price is. It's not 1/6 greater than what you bought it for. And the assumption is you can make a profit. So maybe that's what's going on here. Saw a different explanation, I have to remember. I don't remember what it was. Okay. Right. That you can add to the price because you get sachar for your work. You brought the eggs, you did, in other words, it's when we talk about profits and ona'ah, obviously you have to factor in that there was work done on your part. The seller had to go to the shuk and get the eggs and bring them to here, and that gets calculated in. So therefore, it's not really related to ona'ah. V'chad amar tagra l'tagra, meaning you can't have two middlemen. You can't sell to one person who's going to then sell to another person who's going to then sell to the buyer. Okay, because that's going to jack up the price too much. Now, there's an assumption, the Rashbam says, why are beitzim different? There's an assumption, according to, okay, this would be good for vegans, that ein bahem chaye nefesh, right? People don't need them to survive on, right? Vegans can survive without eggs. Okay, they can't survive probably without oil. Okay, although I wonder what, right? Do they use oil? Right, vegetable oil, I guess. So that's one reason why beitzim are different. And also, I saw an explanation that beitzim are different because of the way they were, beitzim were, they weren't beitzim all over the place. It was like one guy would bring to the city all the eggs, and therefore there was a concern, dafka, of the prices getting jacked up, as opposed to shemen and yayin, which were much more common. And then, obviously, this halacha would apply to anything that would come into those definitions, those categories. Tanu Rabbanan, matri'in al prakmatia, v'afilu b'shabbat. Okay, this is what does this mean, matri'in? Generally, tru'ah means we blow the shofar. Okay, this sounds strange. Even on Shabbat, we blow the shofar. So first of all, what are we talking about? If prices drop, okay, let's say the majority of the community deals with some sort of commodity or some sort of produce, and the price of that produce drops, you're allowed to basically institute blowing the shofar, tefillot, right? So the question is, are we just talking about crying out a tefillah? Because that means afilu b'Shabbat. And generally on Shabbat, we don't do bakashot of that sort. Some people say, no, it actually means to blow the shofar even on Shabbat, which sounds pretty extreme. Anyway, however you look at it, you can turn this into a public event, basically, a public tefillah, even on Shabbat, because it affects a lot of the people in the community. Okay, so if prices drastically drop. So now, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, kigon klei pishtam bebavel, v'yayin v'shemen be'eretz Yisrael. Okay, it says these are the major, if you're talking about the flax in Bavel and the yayin and shemen in Eretz Yisrael, those are their people's basic needs. And now Rabbi Yosef is going to talk about, well, to what extent if the prices drop that it's going to so drastically affect so many people, and that it's such a serious thing that we're going to have a public either fasting or tefillot, etc. I'm Rabbi Yosef, v'hu dezal v'kam asara b'shita. The 10 things are sold for the price of what 6 things used to be sold for. Okay? That's the amount, that's the percentage, basically, of drop that we're now allowed to institute a fast or a tefillah or shofar. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ein yotzim me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. Okay? Elen ken amdu satayim b'sela. Okay? For all those who travel, right? According to this Gemara, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz unless prices have gone so high that to buy two satayim of I assume it's wheat, it costs you a sela. Okay? Which is a high price. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Ematai, when is this? Bizman she'eno motze likach. He says, wait a minute. It doesn't mean just because prices have gotten so high in Israel and it's so hard to live here that you can leave. It means that, let's say, prices are high, but you can still afford it. Or there's still stuff in the shuk that you can buy and you can make it somehow. Then you can't leave. But if you can't, and as you can't buy it because you really have no money left, then you can leave. Okay, so this is an interesting halacha, right? How much to apply it to nowadays is a good question. Okay, anyway, it says so in this braita. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer, Elimelech, machlon v'chiyon gdolei hador hayu, u'parnasei hador hayu, mipnei mana enshu, mipnei shiatzu me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. Right? Here we get to Megillat Rut, and we're going to have a series of drashot on Megillat Rut until the end of the daf, which is going to end off our parak for today. What were they punished for? Because they left Eretz Yisrael, they went to Chutz La'aretz, that was their punishment. They were the parnasei hador hayu, right? Meaning they had money, they were wealthy, even though there was a big famine, they still were able to purchase stuff, and yet they left. How do we know this? Shene'emar, vatahom kol ha'ir alehen, vatomarna hazot Naomi. Okay, when she comes back and they say, is this Naomi? Okay, right, what do they say? So the hazot they're going to darshan, the hey and the chet we've seen switch often in drashot. So it's going to be from chazeh, okay? Chazeh is to see. Okay, so let's see. They're going to say, my hazot Naomi, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Amru chazitem Naomi sheyatza me'eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz ma'al tala. Like, is this the Naomi? Do you see Naomi? She's the one who left from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and look what happened to her, right? And basically, if you leave Eretz Yisrael, you go to Chutz La'aretz, look what's going to happen to you. You're going to become like Ruth, who came back, Naomi, who came back with nothing, right? Everybody died. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, oto yom shabat Ruth ha-moavia le'Eretz Yisrael, meita ishto shel Boaz, v'haynu dam re'inshe, adelo shachiv shichva, Kaima manu beite. Okay, so let's go from the end. We'll start from the beginning. Rabbi Yitzchak says that with the day that Ruth came, that was the day that Boaz's wife died. Okay, it's like in a movie, right? And it's exit one, enter the other, right? It's a perfect, so that's what the people say. Before, right, just as the person's dying, already the person in charge of the house is already, right, been coming in to replace it. Okay. Amar Rabba Barafuna. Amar Rav. Ivtzan ze Boaz. Okay. Ivtzan, who is mentioned in as a shofet in Sefer Shoftim. Okay. There's a shofet called Ivtzan. We're going to read about him in a minute. Okay. He comes up in Shoftim Yud Bet. Okay. Second. Let me just get to the place. Thanks. Okay, so it says, this is Yiftach, okay, the end of Yiftach, he dies, and then it says, Vayishpot acharav et Yisrael, Ivtzan mi beit lachem, okay, you can see why they think to connect it. Okay, then it says about him, Vayihilo shloshim banim ushloshim banot, Vayihilo shloshim banim ushloshim banot shilach hachutza, okay, in other words, he had 30 sons, and 30 daughters he sent out to get married. Ushloshim banot hevi lebanav minachutz, and he brought in 30 girls to marry his 30 sons. Vayishpot et Yisrael sheva shanim, and he was a judge for 7 years. Vayamat ivtzan v'yikaver b'beit lechem. That's all we hear about him. Okay, so the Gemara always likes to, we call it the law of diminishing personalities, right? They like to connect all these random people and say, oh, it's the same person, so that we can kind of connect things. So I think it's a way of also. This guy, you can't really imagine too much about him, but if you connect him to someone else we know about, then you can get a whole image in your head about who this person is. The Midrash like to make things visual for people, right? So that you could actually see the stories. So what does he say? My kamashmalan. So first of all, why are you bothering to tell us this? Ki idach de Rabba Bar Rav Huna, de Amar Rabba Rav Huna, Amar Rav. It's like the statement of what Rabba Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Me'a ve'esrim mishta'ot asa boaz lebanav. He made 120 celebrations for his children, for his children. Shenemar. Vayilo shloshim banim, u'shloshim banot shilach achutza, u'shloshim banot hevi lebanav min achutz, v'yishpot yitzhar sheva shanim. U'b'chol achat ve'achat asa shnei mishta'ot. Echa be'beit aviv, ve'echa be'beit chamiv. Okay, so he did all these mishta'ot, right? In other words, each kid, man, 30 sons, 30 daughters, each one had two parties. That was 120 parties. Okay, we'll see in a minute what's the significance of these parties. Some people say there were two parties, right? This Gersa says one bebeit aviv, one bebeit chamiv. Some people say one when they were born and one when they got married, which maybe makes a little more sense. Why you would make a party in the house of the in-laws and a party in the house of his house. Well, what's the relevance here? Ubikulan, if we want to connect all these characters, right? We want to connect Ibtan to Boaz. Now we're going to connect Boaz to Manoach. Who is Manoach? The father of Shimshon. Okay? Ubikulan lo zimenet Manoach. Okay? He didn't invite Manoach. We'll see why in a minute. Amar kudna akara b'mai parali. Says this barren mule, what's he going to give back to me? In other words, what was the assumption? That you didn't bring gifts, but what'd you do? I invited you to my parties. You invited me to your parties. But Manoah had no kids. So therefore, how's he going to ever pay me back? Now, one way of reading this is, it was just financial. He wanted the money, right? He said, I'm not going to spend money on this guy if he's not going to return me money. And was very, you know, black and white about it. Another option is, obviously, if you really think about the situation, he had 60 children. And he actually came from a good place, which is, he felt bad for Manoach. It's not nice. Manoach has no children. To basically say to Manoach, oh, come to the party and come to another one and come to another one. Think about how Manoach's going to feel. So he felt, Manoach's going to feel bad. I'm not going to invite him. So, and then obviously what's the lesson learned is that it's not up to you to decide what's going to make Manoach comfortable or not comfortable, right? We all try to do somersaults to try to figure out, are we insulting someone, are we not, or, you know, and you're better off always inviting, right? And that's, let them make the decision. If they don't want to come, it's going to put them in an uncomfortable position, so let them say no. But don't think that you know better and what's going to offend someone and what's not. And obviously it's tricky. We never know what's going to offend someone and what's not going to offend someone. So I think that sounds like a more realistic way of reading it. Tana, bikulan metu b'chayav. Now here's his punishment, okay? Because he didn't invite Manoach, all of them died in his life. V'hainu da'amrei inshe, and this is, oh, sorry, this is, right, yeah. So all of them died in his life. V'hainu da'amrei inshe, b'chayecha di'aladit shitin, right, if you have 60 in your life, shitin lamalech, what's the value of 60 if they're all going to die? Yichapa v'olid chad d'mishitan zaris. All you really need is one who's greater than all 60. And in the end, what happened? Boaz had that one son, Ovad, who was Olida Ishai, who was Olida David, and then it was all to get that one son, and that was what was the most important. Okay, 60, now however many you have is, and it's almost like saying to Manoach, right? That Manoach, in the end, also had one son, and look what, you know, again, he's a controversial character, but assuming you think about the greatness of what he did, his one was greater than all 60. Okay. Amarav Chanan Barava Amarav. Elimelech v'Salmon uploni almoni. Salmon, not Shalmon, right? I can't remember. Shalmon. What is it? Salmon, right? Yeah, Salmon uploni almoni v'avi Naomi kulam b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav. Okay, we're trying to connect all these people. We're going to say that all these people were the sons of...
This is Masoret.
Masoret?
Or imagination. Or...
Right. It's probably a bit of Masoret, but I think that generally they're trying to get to concepts here, and they're trying to link people so that we can talk about similar concepts.
They have had a basis.
So you're going to see their basis, right. So this one, does this have a basis? A lot of these do have some sort of basis, although you're going to see some that are quite strange in the question. I can't figure out in all of these what the purpose, why the rabbis were trying to say this. Particularly, you'll see the next one is quite strange. But I think when they try to connect, and what do they want to say if they're the sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav? They're trying to connect these people with greatness, right? They're trying to say these people had leadership qualities. And what's the problem, right? Some of them kept with it and some of them left it aside. Like, let's talk about them. So we have Elimelech, who obviously we're criticizing, right? He was the son of Nachshon ben Aminadab, had the capability, right? What did we say? He was Parnaseh Hador, right? He had the capability to jump into the waters and like Nachshon. And what did he do? He blew it, right? Salmon is, I'm blanking on who he was, Avi Boaz, right, the son of Boaz, right. So he was the son of, the father of Boaz, so he, right, did lead to greatness. Ploni Almoni, he was the guy who doesn't want to be Goel at Ruth HaMoaviah, he obviously blew it. Vavi Naomi, right, he gave birth to Naomi, who, you know, again, she might be a little controversial because she left, on the other hand, she came back and is looked at as a great person. So maybe it's also trying to tell you that, as we all know, that children of the same parents don't all come out the same way, right? In other words, they're trying to tell you about relationships and about children and going in different directions, even though they're all made of the same stuff, so to speak. Okay, my kamashwa, so the Gemara also wants to say, what's the point of telling you all this? Okay, they're also concerned, Naomi, like you, why are you, are we just trying to figure out who was born from who? Like, what's the idea here? Shafilu mi sheyesh lo zchut avot, Eina omedet lo b'sha'as yotzei me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. And here they say, zchut avot doesn't help you when you leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And that's the key that they're trying, you know, that now the Gemara is trying to hone in on. Again, whether that was Rav's intent in the first place, we don't know. But for the purposes of our sugya, they're bringing in to tell you that zchut avot goes out the window when you leave Eretz Yisrael for chutz la'aretz. Va'amarav chanam barav amarav. We're going to have a slew of statements in his name. Ime de Avraham, here's the one that I'm really not sure what to do with this. The mother of Avraham's name was Amtalai bat Karnevo. Ime de Haman, Amtalai bat Orvati. Okay, and they're trying, which is very strange, right, to connect Avraham and Haman and sort of say that their mothers had the same first name. Okay, what, right, obviously we don't, in our world, right, we don't always connect people who have the same first name, although I do know people who do that, right? They, oh, your name's that, you must be that person. Okay, little kids. right, I have this book, The 24 Davids or something. I don't know, there's some book in 24. I don't know, I don't remember the name of the book, but it's about, you know, oh, the guy, who he must be the same because he has the same name. Anyway, okay. So, here they're, but obviously the Gemara is somehow trying to connect them. V'simanech, tamei, tamei, tahor, tahor. Maybe they're also trying to show about, again, I don't think it's zchut avot. I'm not sure if Haman had any zchut avot, but maybe that's even what they're trying to say. Maybe his mother was a little bit, you know, close almost to Avram's mother, and yet he went in his way, right? There's b'chira chofshit, and people do what they do, and they can mess up their, you know, you can mess up what's in mind.
There's a little bit of a warning here. Like, zchut's important, but you still have...
But your actions are much more important than your zchuyot, right? Which, obviously, there's sources that say otherwise, right? That zchut, like, you know, there's a... And then, you know, but if you do good, it's forever, right? But yeah, obviously, there has to be some sort of continuation. Okay, so how do you remember which Amtalai? Was it the Bat Karnevo? Was the Bat Orvati that was the mother of Haman and the mother of Avram? Tamei, tamei, tahor, tahor. That's how you remember. In other words, what's the issue? Karnevo is a, right? I forgot now what Karnevo is. Right, they say it's karim mitzon. In other words, it comes from the from tzon, kfasim, which is tahor. Whereas orev is a non-tahor animal. It's tameh. So that's how you remember the orev, the raven, right? His mother was bat orvati. And Avraham's was bat karnevo. Ime de David, now again, why we're getting this, I'm not really sure what they're trying to tell us. Nitzevet bat adael. Okay, that was his mother. Shema, Ime de Shimshon, Salfonit. Okay, this is a name that comes up in a list in Divrei Hayamim. They're saying that must be her. Ba'achte Nashya. Now, they say, what's the connection of bringing in the sister? Okay, nobody really knows. It seems just because once they're mentioning his mother, they're mentioning his sister. What I thought was a bit interesting is in the Pasuk, this woman, Salfonit, it's actually, it should have a hey. There's a mistake here. It should be Hatzelelophoni. Sorry, it's with a pay. So it says, Ela avi etam, Yisrael v'yishma v'yidbash. This is in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. Sorry, Pasuk Gimel. V'shem achotam, Hatzel Poni. So maybe because they called her the sister of these guys, so now they're telling, oh, and by the way, the sister of Shimshon was Nasha. Okay, I don't know the significance of what they're doing here.
Noah had only one son, the other guy had 60 daughters, 30 daughters and 30 sons. Here we're bringing up, oh well, Manoah also had a daughter.
Where was that?
Of Shimshon.
Oh, I see, that he had a sister also. Ah, yafeh, that they're pointing out that he had a sister. Ah, that they also had other children. It wasn't just Shimshon, yafeh. I didn't even think about that. Okay. Now, here the Gemara gives a nafkamina, which is quite not sure what to do with it. Lamai nafkamina l'tshuvat haminim. Why are we telling you this? So that you can answer the minim. Now, what exactly the minim are going against? I'm not really sure. Okay, so the Rashbam says, she'shoalim lanu yoter be'elu minashim acherot. It goes against those who go by the strict interpretation of the Torah, and we have an oral law, and we can tell them that you have to know our oral law if you're going to answer the minim. So you have to know these things that were passed down. Okay, here's your answer, Naomi. According to the Gemara, they're saying this is passed down by Masoret, and that's why it goes against those who believe only in the strict Torah Shebichtav. And we have to know this so that we can answer them and say, oh, we know, you know, we have all these things from our Masoret. It's kind of an interesting answer. Okay, ba'amarav chanam barava amarav. Eser shanim nechbash Avraham Avinu, shalosh bekuta v'sheva bekardo. Okay, he was taken captive for 10 years, 3 in kuta, 7 in kardo, v'rabdim min harde amane ifcha. Okay, he has a different masoret. Again, maybe we're just talking about all these different masorot, and yet, right, there are masorot, there's ones that say opposite things. Here it's just a matter of how many years, it's not a big difference. Amarav chista, ivra ze'eri dekuta zehu or kastin. Okay, if we're already trying to figure out, right, who these people are, who these places are, okay, when they talk about this Ivra Ze'era Dekuta, that's Orkastim. Va'amarav chanam barav amarav, oto ayom sheniftar Avraham Avinu min ha'olam, amdu kol gzolei umot ha'olam b'shura, v'amru oilo la'olam sh'avad manigo, v'oilo la'sfina sh'avad kabarnita. Okay, so when Avram died, if we already mentioned Avram and his mother's name, now we're getting into Avram himself. All the great people in the world saw his greatness. And you could say that there's two different greatnesses discussed here. One is manhig, maybe even a manhig ruchani of the world. And one is he also knew practicality, right? He could run a boat, run a ship. So it's trying to show Avram had two great, right? A lot of great leaders don't necessarily, can't get to the details. They don't know how to run the ship. But he could both run a ship and be a manhig ruchani. He had both those skills at his fingertips. V'amenase l'chol l'rosh, amarav chanan, barav amarav, afilu, okay, again, we're getting into statements of the same, it's said by the same people, afilu resh garguta mishmaya mukmele. Even the guy who, right, he's in charge of the borot, okay, the be'erot, like who gets the water, which day, even that kind of a job, that comes mishamayim. Okay, because it's hamit naseh l'chol l'rosh. This is that theory that hashkacha pratit goes right to the very last detail. Although you could say this is a job that's quite important because if you get water to irrigate your field, right, the guy who determines that is really operating by God, right? Because God's the one who's determining who gets the water in the fields and who's going to have a successful year and a less successful year, etc. Amar of Chia bar Av and Amar of Yeshua ben Karcha, Chas v'shalom sha'afilu mitzaos subin lo yatsu. Okay, now we're getting back to, since we took this whole slew of Ma'amarim that were said by the same person, now we're getting back to what was the original statement we had about Machlon and Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion leaving Eretz Israel. Now he says, no, it's not.
Well, that's good because, you know, this is Talmud Bavli. They let those statements go over,
yes, yafeh. Well, actually, when I first read this, I said, oh, here you have it. You don't really, it's not really the issue, but they actually say it's even worse. Afilu matzu subin lo yetsu. There's no way they would have left, even if they had found just a little bit of something. Remember, we said originally, what was the problem? They left because they still could have bought, but they left anyway because things were getting bad, right? Here it's saying, even if they had found, no way they would have left. So it actually is even more chamor. No way they would have left. But what was, right? There's really, they left with nothing. They had nothing when they left. They couldn't buy anything. But what was their issue? Here comes Manhigut. שהיה להם לבקש רחמים על דורם ולא ביקשו. שנאמר, בזעקה יצילוך קבוצך. Okay, if you call out to God, he will answer your prayers. And they were the manigim of the generation. They were the parnasei ador, right? They were in a position of power, even if they had no money left. They still had potential. And what they do, they blew it. They only thought of themselves, and they didn't think of others. And they didn't take it upon themselves to say, this is a communal tragedy, we have to deal with it together. And they just walked out. And that was their real problem. Again, whether you say that this would lead you to say, for sure you can't leave Eretz Yisrael or not, I'm not sure. In other words, really what you have is a machloket. What was the main issue? Was it the leaving Eretz Yisrael that was the main issue? Or was it the leaving people behind and not being concerned for other people? That's generally what we learn when we learn this story. He also left for Rav. So maybe they're connecting them. Maybe they're connecting them because they're trying to say that Avraham was interesting. Right, he was concerned about other people. There was Stone, and there was... Now, he did leave in the famine. Doesn't really talk about what... And nobody criticizes him for leaving in the famine. They criticize him for what he did when he left, when he talked about his sisters, my achot. Interesting that nobody really criticizes.
Was he a leader?
Right. Well, first of all, you see that they viewed him as their leader. When he died, again, according to the Midrashim here, they view him as a leader. And what's interesting is, despite the fact that he left, right, maybe... They didn't view him as that type of leader, although they do call him the head of the ship, which means he kind of was involved in all this kind of stuff. Maybe later in life he did more of it, and at that stage, it's a good question to think about. It's a very interesting comparison about all of them in the famine leaving, and he doesn't get criticized, whereas clearly Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, we're going to see even what they call them further on. They give names to, you know, they connect some other names in Divrei Hayamim to them, which highlight their, not to mention the Drashot HaMachlon and Chilion that we'll get to about their names, meaning what they did. And yet Avraham is really praised. So it's interesting. Maybe also the connection to Haman was a little bit putting Avraham in a bit of a negative light, and then maybe the other comment was to kind of support him and say, no, he was okay. Right, we're here. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela Ma'ot Bezo Uperot B'Yoker. This is all if Ma'ot are cheap and Perot are B'Yoker, and you can get Ma'ot, but the prices are high.
Inflation.
Okay? Right. Aval Ma'ot B'Yoker, but if it's harder to get Ma'ot, Afilo Amdu Arbasim B'Sela Yotzin. Okay? Even if the prices are low, but it's much harder to make money, or you could say there's massive inflation, okay, then you're allowed to leave, even if the prices are low, because the assumption is you're going to run out of money very quickly, even if, right, it's going to be hard to get money. Tam Rabbi Yochanan, okay, now we're going to say, okay, we're going to have the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which connects to this. With that, we're going to get to, I think, five statements of Rabbi Yochanan that all open with the same words, although the content, and I would say the gist of them, the direction of where they're going is totally different. But they all start with Nihirana. Nihirana means I remember when, okay, Kadhavu, when, okay, I remember when, and this is how you can imagine older people looking back, oh, I remember when, there were no cell phones, right? Okay, I remember when, Havu Kaimin Arba Se'im B'Sela, okay, where prices were very low, you could buy four Se'im for a seller. Remember we said before you could only buy Satayim B'Sela, right? That was when, okay, but prices were low, you could have four Se'im for a seller. And there were all these people with swollen stomachs in Tveria that were malnourished because they didn't even have an Isar, right? Remember, we talked about how teeny an Isar is. It's like a 1/96th of a sela, I think. It's very, very small amount. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay, here comes another one. Nihirna, okay, so that's, we'll talk about the gist of them. These is, right, I remember when things were so cheap, but yet there was still a lot of poverty. Things were pretty bad. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nihirna kad lo havu mitagrin poalia lemidnach karta, meresh pita maitin. When they wouldn't hire, Paulim refused to work in the Mizrach, Midnach is the Mizrach of Karta, like the Kiryah of the city. Okay, people wouldn't work in the east of the city because the smell of the pito would come from the western wind. You remember all those sugars about the western wind would bring the smells? It would come from the pitot, and they were so starved that the smell would kill them, basically, from smelling it and not being able to eat. Okay, so those two describe a bad situation where people are impoverished. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nihirna kad hava batza yenuka charuva, when a child would open up a charuv, V'haya nagid chote deduvsha al train dar ohi. And you would have this huge dripping of honey coming out of it on both of his arms. Okay, in other words, the charuvim, right? Now you know charuvim, they're so dry, right? But honey was dripping out of them. It's a reference, obviously, to Eretz Zabat Chalav Udvash. Okay, remember, Rabbi Yochanan's living in Eretz Yisrael. So he's saying, I remember when the fruits were flowing with honey dripping out of them, okay, which is a good time, right? It's interesting. He's kind of talking about, I remember good things and I remember bad things. What's nice about this is he's not so one-sided, where he only remembers, right? Some people sit there later and like, oh, I remember when things used to be so good, or you know, or people complain, I remember things used to be so bad. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, here's a different person talking now. Rabbi Elazar comes. Nihir nakad havanatil orva basadeh, v'nigid chote de mishcha, meresh shora v'ad la'ara. You would take a raven in the field. No, I'm sorry. Orva bisra, a raven would take a piece of meat, okay, bisra, v'nagid chote de mishcha, and he would, what does a raven do? He's got a piece of meat, he's like hanging on a branch, and from where he is on high, drips down like a long chut from the top to the bottom of fat coming out of the animal. Okay? In other words, the animals were so fat. This is again like how plentiful things used to be. Ba'amar Rabbi Yochanan, back to Rabbi Yochanan, Nihir Nakalhavu Mitailin, Talia Vitaliata Vishuka. When a boy and a girl would walk together in the shuk, Kibar Shit Esrei, Kibar Shavasrei, 16, 17-year-olds walking together in the street, velo havu chata'in, okay? And they wouldn't be chot'im, right? They were, you know, it was much more, Innocent, yes. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, it's interesting that he's saying it, right? We always think our generation is so, you know, out there, but apparently in their generation also. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan, nihir nakad havu amrim be'i midrash. I remember when they were saying in the Beit Midrash, demode lahon, this also has nothing to do with any of these other statements. This has to do with relations with non-Jews. If you're mode lahon, if you admit to them, like you agree with them, nafil biyadehon, you'll fall into their hands. And din mitrachetz alehon, if you rely on them, delay dilhon, they'll take your money, basically. Okay. In other words, beware of interactions with non-Jews, because it's going to lead to either, you know, you'll agree with them about their views and then they'll basically conquer you, or you'll rely on them, you know, which might also mean you'll tell them information about your monies and then they'll kind of steal it from you. That's, again, this goes into one of those, you know, that we like to file away all those, you know, put aside those negative comments about non-Jews based on, again, the relationships. You have to remember also Rabbi Yochanan was living in Eretz Yisrael, where it was much worse, the relations between them, and Bavel was much better. Okay, now we're back to, we got off sidetracked, right? We had a lot of sidetracks today because first we had a whole bunch of statements in the name of Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, and then we had all these statements of Rabbi Yochanan, I remember when, which again, they went in all different directions. Things were good, things were bad, right? One is about how plentiful things were, and one is about how impoverished things were. Maybe also he's remembering different, right, that they're, remember, he said even things were very cheap, and yet there was still a lot of poverty. He was also trying to say, just because things were great, there was also a long side, which we see very much so in our country, that, you know, there's the very rich and there's the very poor. Okay. Ketiv, and maybe that's the idea also. Maybe now that I'm thinking about it, he's trying to contrast those two images, other than the one about the non-Jews, which really has nothing to do with anything. But otherwise, he's really contrasting these two images of the rich having so much and the poor having so little. And it's really connecting back to this machlon and chulyom, which is the responsibility of the rich to help the poor and the, you know, the societal needs there. Okay, so back to Drashot HaMachlon V'Chilyon. K'tiv Machlon V'Chilyon, U'K'tiv Yoash V'Saraf. Okay, you know Yoash and Saraf? Probably not, right? Who are they? They come up in Divrei Yamim, Perek Dalet again, Divrei Yamim Aleph, in Pasuk Kaf Bet, I believe it is. Okay, so we're in a list of the B'nai Yehuda, okay, the sons of Yehuda, and come these two Pesukim that we're going to darshan now. V'yokim v'anshei kozeva v'yoash v'saraf asher ba'alu l'moav. Now you can imagine why they're calling them, they're connecting Yoash and Saraf because they married the Moabit. B'yashuvi lechem. Okay, we're going to connect this to Yashuvu, right? She went back to Beit Lechem. Okay. B'hadvarim atikim, which is strange, we'll see what that is. Hema hayotzrim v'yoshvein etayim u'gdera im ha'melech b'melechto yashvu sham. Okay, let's try to explain what these mean, because otherwise they're kind of unclear. So the names, we're going to darshan. We're going to assume that these aren't the real names. Okay? Or maybe they are. We'll see in a minute. Rav Shmuel. So we're going to assume that Yoash and Sarah from Achlon and Chilion, because Ba'alu Moav. And then the question is going to be, which are their real names and which is the drasha name? There's an assumption that one name was given for drasha purposes. We've seen this before. And one name was their real name. Rav Shmuel. Chanam ar Machlon v'chilion Shman. V'lam nikra Shman Yoash v'Sarah. Yoash sheniti ashum in ha-geula. They said the geula is never going to come, and that's why they left Israel. Sarah shenitchayvu strefa lemakom. They were mitchayv strefa because they left everyone behind and didn't take care of them. V'chad amar Yoash v'Sarah shman. V'lam nikra Shman Machlon v'chilion. Machlon shasu gufan chulin, because they left the kedusha of Eretz Israel. V'chilion shenitchayvu kliya lemakom. They were basically mitchayev to be destroyed. Tanya kamad amar Machlon v'chilion shman. D'tanya, here's a source for Machlon v'chilion was their real name. Dichtiv mai dichtiv v'yokim v'anshei koziv v'yoash v'sarap asher ba'lu l'moav v'yashu v'lechem v'adrim atikim. Now I'm going to dash that entire pasuk. V'yokim ze Yoshua. Shokim shvua l'anshei giv'on. He was called Yokim because he made a shvua with anshei giv'on. They were non-Jews, remember, and they lied and they said, right, anyone, they said they came from far with the moldy bread. Okay, so he was making the shvua, so he's called Yokim. By the way, Yoshua was from Yehuda. No, Yeshua was from Ephraim. So Mapi told me he's in Yehuda. So this, by the way, the same thing happens with Mordechai. They claim that his mother must have been from Yehuda, and that some of these people include people whose mothers were from Yehuda. It's all, by the way, an attempt to connect the Malchut to Yehuda. Mordechai also was from Ephraim, but they try to connect him to Yehuda also. V'anshei kuzi v'el anshei giv'on shekizvu b'Yoshua, they tricked him. That's kazav. V'yoash v'saraf elu machlon v'chilyon. V'lam nekra shman yoash v'saraf. Here we have it. Yoash nitrashu min ha-geula saraf shenitchevu shufah ha-lamakom. So that's why we brought this, to prove this bright, to prove what we said before. Asher ba'alu le-mo'av shenasu nashim mo'aviyot. V'yashu v'lechem zoru ta-mo'aviyah sheshava v'nidbeka v'beit lechem Yehuda. V'advrim atikim, what do you think that means? V'rim halalu atik yomaya amran. Meaning, God made this happen. It was God's orchestration. Okay, dichtiv matzati David avdi uchtiv shtei benotai chanim tzaot, which is benot Lot, and they show the lashon that God started this all from the time of Lot. When remember they slept with their father and Moab came and Ammon, right? And it was all to get to this point. Hey my yotzrim, now we have to darsh on the next pasuk. Yoshvein etayim gderaim amelach melachto yoshvu sham. Hey my yotzrim, ela bnei Yonadab ben Rechav shenitz. Shenatzru shvuat avihem. Hayotzrim elashom natzru. They kept their father's shvuah. Their father made them swear some things before they died, and they kept his shvuah. I'm not going to get into it now because we don't have time. Yoshveni ta'im zesh shlomo shedomen l'nitiyah b'malchuto. He flower blossomed. His melucha blossomed like a flower. It kept getting greater and greater. Ugdera zo sanedrin shegadru pirtzotehen shel Yisrael. Right, that's the Sanhedrin. Okay, came from Yehuda. Im amelach b'melachto yashvu sham zo rut ha-moavia. Okay, she was able to be at her great-great-grandson's coronation. Shneamar, Bayasim kisei le'em ha-melech. Now, em ha-melech should be Batsheva. But who is it? They say, it said Batsheva earlier in the pasuk, so it should have just said, Bayasim kisei la. And because it says le'em ha-melech, it must be referring to some other em ha-melech, and who would that possibly be? Right, that's Amar Rabbi Elazar li mashal machut, the mother, right? Sounds like the machut of, right, the queen mother, right? That she was, okay? By the way, there's a book about Ruth called Yi Mashal Machut. It's a good book. Tana Rabbanan, v'achalte mina tfua yashan. Okay, now we're going to darshan this pasuk about the Shemitah, and the Shemitah year. It says in the klalot, in the brachot, it says in Vayikra, v'achalte mina tfua yashan. What does it mean, yashan? Below salmanton. My below salmanton, again, they don't know what this word means. Rav Nachman Amar, below ritzinta, without worms. Rav Sheshan Amar, below shidifa. It wasn't hit by shidafon, which is when this heat comes. It basically knocks out the flavor from the plants still grow, but it knocks out the flavor from them. Tanya, so we're basically saying you're going to eat tfu'ad. This says basically in the seventh year, but in the sixth year you have to stop your work in the seventh year, right? And then everything will keep growing even though, right, you're not working the land. And you'll still eat the yashan. So they're saying it won't have worms or it won't have shidafon, blight. Tanya kavatei d'Rav Shesha, kani kavatei d'Rav Nachman, tani kavatei d'Rav Nachman, v'achaltem yashan, yachol yehu Yisrael mitzapim l'chadash mipnei yashan, shakala. You might think Israel expect to get new ones in place of the old ones that are going to get destroyed. What are they going to get destroyed from? Worms. That proves Rav Nachman. Talmud Lamar, ad bo tfuata. That's right. You're going to have this yashan until the new crops grow, and then already in the later, right, in the probably only in the ninth year of the cycle, because you replant in the eighth and then the ninth. Ad shetavo tfua me'eleha. Tanya kavatei d'rav sheshet, v'achaltem min ha'tfua yashan, yachol yisrael mitzapin l'chadash m'pnei yashan shera. Right? That's yashan that exists, but it's bad. That's the blight. Talmud Lamar, ad bo tfuata, ad shetavo tfuata me'eleha. Okay, last brayta, Tana Rabbanan, v'chaltem yashan no shan. Okay, this is not from there. This is a pasuk from, this is from the Brachot. The other pasuk, it was my mistake. I was doing it right. It's not from the Brachot. It's before that. It's when it's talking about the Halachot of Shemitah. Now this is part of the Brachot. What's going to happen in the Brachot? In Vayikra it says, v'chaltem yashan no shan. Milamed shekol ha-miyushan mechavero ha-yaveh yafa mechavero. Anything old is better. This is only obviously things that get better with age. What about those that they'll also continue to grow, right? Talmud Lamar, Yashan Noshan, Mikol Makom. It says double Ashan to teach Mikol Makom. Even things that aren't good when they get old, when they age, are still going to be good. That's the bracha. That even old things that generally get bad are going to still be good. The Yashan Mipnei Chadash Totziu. This is the second part of the pasuk. Melamed Shayu Otzaro Meleot Yashan Ugranot Meleim Chadash. Right. In other words, what happened? They had full Yashan, and then more crops are going to come in, and they're going to say, right, this is going to be their biggest problem. By Yisrael Amrim Heach Notziu Zeh Mipnei Zeh. Right. What are we going to do? Where are we going to put all this new produce? Our granaries are full. Okay. Amra. That's going to be the bracha of how much plenty we will have. Amra Papa. Kol mile atika ma'alya. Okay, this is how the parak ends. Very interesting. Any old thing is actually always better. Okay, the old is always better. This goes back to the remember when, right? And okay, levar mitamre v'shichra v'harsna. Except for these three things. And he's obviously talking about foods, but I think he's trying to say something else, which is the old, right? That people had it better earlier, and they understood things better, and things were always better earlier. Okay, last word just on what are these things doing here. I thought, again, as we've seen in many cases, I think it's here at the end of a parak, when they're discussing all these business things, what's included in the sale, what's not included in the sale, right? Again, very tedious, technical, do I own this, right? Again, people using their power to say, I didn't mean this, I didn't mean that, I included this, okay? And changing prices, and we talked about kinyanim and all different things about ownership. And I think, again, it's trying to put things into perspective that we have a society we have to take care of, and it's not all about making money and what's yours, and you have to take care of the poor and you have to take care of others, and you know, we have to go back, almost like where Papa's last line is, we have to go back to the olden days where people were more societal oriented and taking care of their own and not just about themselves. And I think that's the real criticism of this page, is about all the people who, you know, again, leaving Eretz Yisrael is one thing, but I think really what they're trying to get at is taking advantage of the poor, and or maybe not even taking advantage, but not thinking about them in your business dealings, and always trying to keep that in mind. Okay, Hadran Alach Mocheret Hasfina.